Joining us to talk about that and a few more things is an NBA analyst, a Los Angeles Clippers broadcaster, a 10-year NBA vet, a panelist on my daily TV show back in the day, an entrepreneur with Mama Cinch. And the last time I had him on, I said I should have done it sooner, and that was on me, so I brought him right back. Ryan Hollins is my guest. Ryan, what's going on? How are you?
What the heck is going on, brother? How have you been?
Man, so good. So good. It's only been like five days, but I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing good, man.
Good. All right. Let me ask you this. The Sixers get blown out in game one of their series with Toronto. Then they come back and they win game two on the road. Then they blow the Raptors out in game three. Then Kawhi saves Toronto while Joel was clearly sick. In your mind, where is that series right now as it goes back to Toronto tied up?
This is why you play for a home court advantage. Two teams are evenly matched. In the sense that you want to give Toronto the advantage as far as chemistry. And even though Kawhi Leonard is new, the way he plays the game, he fits into any system, dude. I mean, seriously, it's a seamless transition. Philadelphia has the talent, but there's not enough time for them to really develop. And obviously, you're always going to point back to the very talented Ben Simmons. But you know Ben Simmons isn't built for the playoffs. His game does not fit the way you play in the playoffs, even though he's incredibly talented. So Philadelphia has things that they're working out. And right now, Jim, it's going to come down to coaching and home court advantage.
Ryan Hollins joining us. Go back to Ben Simmons, Ryan. So he's had three straight games at 10 points or fewer. Look, I understand that scoring is not his only way to contribute, but from Philadelphia's standpoint, they need more, right? So in your mind, why is he not built for the postseason?
Well, he can't shoot off the bounce. And the one thing, I was in the league as a defender, so I had to study scouting reports. So when you build a scouting report, he's a very easy guy to guard. You guard Ben Simmons, you want to keep him from playing downhill. That means attacking the rim. You're going to go under on all screens. And essentially, you can be a help defender because I can recover back to him. He's not going to beat me by shooting a deep three. So now he gets in everybody else's way. So he was my X factor for the Eastern Conference playoffs. Why? Because he's a guy that he scores between the 17 to 20-point range, and now you have to guard him. This passing ability, Jim, he makes everybody better. And if he's not putting out the point production, and I understand that coaches put the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands because Jimmy is a dual threat. He can score it, and he can shoot from the outside. But Ben Simmons has to score in that type of range because he's infectious when he's playing well. You saw it against the Nets. Jared Dudley challenged him. He went off and blew out the Nets. But his scoring is a game changer for the Philadelphia 76ers.
And right now, he's not scoring. Ryan Hollins is joining us. He's a 10-year NBA vet. All right, so Ryan, how impressed were you with the way Denver showed up in Game 3 and then came back after that 4-overtime game to win last night in Game 4?
Look, man, I'm going to flat out say it. I didn't see this team going anywhere. I thought they were fortunate to get out the first round. But the one thing that's in their favor is their youth. What I mean by that, they're not getting beat up by playing a 7-game series. They don't know to be tired. They don't know any different. And those young guys are getting experience every single game that they play. So hats off for them to find out how to win games. But the biggest question there is inconsistency. What Jamal Murray shows up? What Gary Harris shows up? Who's going to be there when the games get tighter and tighter? Because, Jim, from game one to game two, 3 and 4, 6 and 7, those are completely different ball games, the way the referees call them, the way the players play, and the intensity changes. They haven't been there before. I'm not a believer in Denver, but I cannot do anything but take my hat off and salute the way those guys have been working and growing. I get it. I love what Mike Malone is doing.
I do, too. That's a great series. I'll get back to the officiating in a minute. Ryan Hollins is my guest. Go back, Ryan. I'm jumping around here, but go back to Game 3 of the Bucks and Celtics. What do you make of the way Giannis showed up in that game?
I thought he was consistent. And this is a two-edged sword right here. This is a two-edged sword, Jim. I want you to come with me.
I'm here for you.
This is the reason that you attack the rim and you play downhill. Because if the referees are going to call it tight, you're going to have a field day. He's unguardable. But in the playoffs, normally those are not fouls. The way he was playing, normally the referees let that go. You can hold guys a little more. You can grab them. You know, you can do all the little things. And he got a very favorable whistle. Now, if that whistle changes, you get a couple stops on Giannis, the game completely changes. Kyrie was fussing about that third quarter, and deservedly so. You're playing on your heels. Now you can't defend. Now your hands are tied. But credit Giannis. You play downhill, you attack the basket, and in moments like that, good things will happen. And I thought his supporting cast was excellent. Bud made adjustment after adjustment. And you know what? Guy after guy showed up. Where's George Hill been all season? You know, where was Brook Lopez in game one and two? But those guys showed up big as a supporting cast, and Giannis fed off their energy.
Ryan Holland's my guest. All right, so when he's playing downhill like that and he's attacking the rim every single time, forget about it. There's almost nothing you can do. And then, Ryan, to your point, you have to adjust. If the referees are going to call it a certain way, you got to play it a certain way, but you never know how they're going to call it. So what do you expect the refs to do for game four tonight?
Well, for one, Boston has to put on their big boy pants. Because the one thing I know about having experience in the playoffs is you got to have experience with referees. How the heck are they calling a game? Sometimes it's tight. Sometimes you can grab and hold. Sometimes your position defensively has to be perfect. You have to be able to adjust. Secondly, Boston was very sloppy with their help side defense. What do I mean? This is one of the most athletic teams in the league. They can help on the rim. They can get back. When Giannis spins, he should be seeing two and three defenders and have to make a tough pass out of the blind side of his eye. So those are adjustments they have to make. And you have to credit Giannis. The one thing that he does is he plays downhill. As I said, most guys go downhill. I'm a right-hand driver. I'm a left-hand driver. Where I go right, you cut me off and I spin. Giannis has a little bit of everything. Euro step right hand, euro step left hand, spin move, up and under. He's got it all heading to the rim. He just has to develop that outside shot. But one thing I love about that kid is he's working on it. And no, Jim, he is still not my MVP, just so you know.
Good. I was going to ask you that, but now I don't need to. Ryan Hauntz is my guest. Ryan, one more thought about the officiating. I hate wasting a lot of time on this, but just bottom line this for me. When you hear guys complain about the officiating, do you understand that and that they're setting things up for the next game? Or would you rather these guys just stop complaining and just play the game?
Jim, I've always been honest with you. I don't hold any punches. When you play in the NBA and in the playoffs, you have to assume in your mind before the game happens that you're screwed. If you have any other thought in your mind, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. I remember going into a Game 7 playing against the Miami Heat on the road, and we knew we weren't going to get a call. And guess what, Jim? We didn't. Obviously, the Heat go on to win it, and they win their, I think, second championship or first whatever with LeBron, whatever, should have been mine. But nonetheless, we knew we weren't getting a favorable whistle, and we played through it. I've seen Dwayne Wade literally jump on Rajon Rondo and slam him to the floor. Referee, no call, play on. You don't have time to cry. You don't have time to complain. You have to play through it. And put in your mind already, you're not getting a whistle. You've got to take it. And that's why I do credit Giannis for playing downhill and attacking the basket game after game. He could have been a little more passive after game one or game two and said he didn't have the same success. But guess what? It showed through, and I do credit the kid. I don't think he's the sole reason why they won. He's got his work to do, but he did his job.
Ryan Hauntz is joining us. Ryan, before you go, game four of Golden State-Houston tonight. Defensively, it seems like Houston's plan is to prevent Steph Curry from taking threes. They're forcing him to go to the basket. It worked in game three. Does that seem sustainable to you? And when you look at Steph right now, what do you see?
Let me break this down to you, Jim. When you play against great players, sometimes your best defense is your offense. And they're picking out wherever Steph Curry is, and they're making him have to slide his feet. Guess whose page they're taking it out of? I don't know if you thought this would be happening. Listen, they're playing like the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers had a lot of success attacking Steph Curry, going at him, drawing fouls, keeping him on the bench. He never gets in a rhythm. And guess what? This is the darn truth. As good as Kevin Durant is, as great a scorer as he is, he doesn't make anybody better. So when the ball is in Kevin Durant's hands, you know who gets worse? The rest of the team. And they end up losing the ball game. Am I blaming KD for being KD? No, but guess what? Steph Curry's used to having the basketball in his hands. This is a tough transition for him, especially a guy who's getting beat up on the other end of the floor playing defense. So it's an interesting dynamic with the Warriors. I still have the Warriors. My heart says Rockets go ahead and win, but my head says Golden State is going to show up big. The one thing they do well is they adjust, and their chemistry is like none other. Steve Kerr can put in a game plan hours, minutes before the game, even at halftime during a game, and those guys go out and execute it seamlessly. They know where each other is blindfolded. They don't even have to talk or communicate. They know where they're going to be.
Ryan Holland's my guest. Now, Ryan, off the top, I mentioned you are an entrepreneur with Mama Cinch, but we've got to give credit where credit's due. Your wife, Jan, is the one who started Mama Cinch. Lay it out for me. What's it all about? How did it first come to be?
So, Jim, me and you may not know anything about this, but we know we need to take care of our wives. So just know this. The pants are amazing. What does every woman want to have, essentially? A better figure. They tighten up your legs, give a little plumpness to your butt, help circulation, and you look amazing wearing the pants. They are addicting. Oh, and I forgot, they tighten your waist too. So that's what these pants do. Jim, this is not for me and you. This is for the missus, for the significant others. Mama Cinch pants, go check them out.
Bro, it sounds too good to be true. Where can people find out more info?
Check it out on Instagram, Mama Cinch, MamaCinch. And they're also the website there. So, Jim, I'm expecting you to purchase a few pair of those, or we'll send you some, man.
You got it, man. You know it. He was a panelist on my daily TV show back in the day. I'm all for anything that creates a little extra plumpness for the butt. 10-year NBA vet, LA Clippers broadcaster. He is an excellent NBA analyst. And I said I'd bring him back, and I did, and we'll do it again. Ryan, great job. Appreciate you, and really well done.
My man, anytime.
My man. Talk to you soon, dude. Good job. Ryan Hollins, having some fun with him. All right, then, when we return...